You are listening to a special edition podcast for Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. The Force is with us, and it is also with you. You are listening to a special edition podcast for Star War, Rogue One, a Star Wars story. I am your host, Red Leader, the Marvelous Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Joining me is Gold Leader, Taser. Taser, welcome back.
Donald Trump has officially won the Electoral College. Hail Hydra!
Joining us is Blue Leader, Mr. Brian Powers.
Hey, hey, hey. Back in the Star Wars, and man, this movie fucked me up.
So in case you aren't aware, up until Disney decides to stop making Star Wars movies, we're going to end every year doing a special edition podcast on Star Wars, because Star Wars is owned by Disney, Disney owns Marvel, Marvel publishes Star Wars comics, so fuck it, it's fair game. Fair game? Fair game.
They will run what you love into the ground with zero regard.
Hey, man, so far, through two movies, slight giveaway, so far, so good. But we're going to get into it right now. We're going to talk about what we liked, what we disliked, and I guess not... For the first time, we're doing a movie where we can't speculate in the future because we know what the future is.
Yeah. Apparently, this Rogue One leads into a little-known indie flick called Star Wars, I think.
It's a small-budget film. Came out a long time ago.
It's like some 70s schlock cinema flick or whatever. Yeah, it probably didn't do that well.
Mostly a bunch of no-name actors. They had one person who'd done a few things, but one or two people who'd done a few things. But other than that, a whole bunch of nobodies.
Leave it to Disney to pick up a little-known IP and just kind of run with it and turn it into this kind of a story, because I don't think anybody would have known what this could have been. But
and you know what was worse about this film?
What was worse
it
about
was it? No Asians in it. None.
God, no Asians?
None. And we're talking the 70s. And it had swords. How can you have a sword movie with no Asians?
Hey, listen to this part, all right? In apparently Star Wars, whatever this movie is, it did well enough to get a sequel. Apparently,
what?
In the sequel, they introduced the only black man in the entire galaxy. There's
Whoa.
One black man in the entire galaxy.
Okay, I'm going to have to cut the sarcasm right then and there from you fuckers. We will be talking about spoilers for Rogue One. I mean, not hard to spoil it, but just in case you haven't seen the movie yet, because it is the holidays, you're probably Christmas shopping, you're probably doing something, or you could have been smart like me and just did everything off of Amazon. So just be forewarned, spoilers are going forward. So let's get right into what we liked about Rogue One, Star Wars Story. And because I'm the host with the mostest and the toastest and the mostest with the boastest, Mostis? Lostis.
That was a lot of S's.
Crostis. I'm full of lactotosis. I'm not lactose intolerant. Anyways, the one thing that sticks out in my mind, and it was the same thing when I saw Godzilla in 2014, because it's the same director, Gareth Edwards, is the cinematography. Because holy shit, like, they weren't your typical, like, Star Wars shots. Like, some of how he framed... Namely, the big set pieces when you would get, say, example, the beach scene, the final beach confrontation,
mm-hmm.
With, like, the Death Star looming overhead, or how dynamic the camera was during the space battle sequences with where you had the Rebel fleet engaging the Imperial fleet at that particular planet. Just stuff like that. Like, when it was on the ground, it was very much by the numbers, you know, on a dolly. It was when, during those sweeping action sequences where he knew where to pan and where he knew, like, where to put the camera. How to frame things. Like the Death Star, you know, I think this is the first time since I was a kid where I was, like, it felt imposed. Like, I felt like the Death Star wasn't a joke. Because after a while it becomes just like, yeah, just shoot the thing in there and it's done. But, like, just how, like, the size of it, and seeing the destruction on the temple in the very beginning of the movie, just like that kind of, because I think that's the first time we've ever seen, like, what it does up close. Because for the most part, it's just laser shoots, explosion. And what we saw in the movie, you saw its first ever test demonstration at like barely any power, and just like that, like you see all the sand come up, and basically the earth is coming. It's just such a great shot. There's one thing I can say really that comes out of my mind immediately is that the cinematography was amazing. And even if Gary Edwards doesn't direct another movie, another one like this, I wouldn't at least be the director of photography for all these spinoffs, or at least some of the ones that are like big, that require like big epic scenes, because he's perfect for it. Also, the robot, who's the droid, who freaking almost stole the show for me with his witty banter, witty dry remarks for nearly everything.
Alan Tudyk is good at that. He's a very good. He was a good choice for the droid.
That was Alan Tudyk? Holy shit!
Yeah, that was him. He voiced the droid.
Okay, that's
yeah. I was surprised by that when I saw his name scroll in the credits. I was like, "Wait a minute, hold it, no."
Because I expected Captain Castlin. I can't remember his name. Unfortunately, that's gonna be a running theme for a lot of this movie.
Cassian Andor, Rebel.
I expected him, I don't know, have a little more flair.
I
expected
the page open for future reference, just in case
cool.
you need to refer
Thank
to
you.
Things. Let me know.
Thank you. I expected, like, the Imperial pilot to be the funny guy, but no, it was the droid. He was the straight he was the comedy man the entire way through. It was like, early on in the movie, it was like, I was riding on a ship, but that was boring, so I came here. Just so, like, it's so dry. It's like he pulled off that being dry and effortless, yet still being hilariously funny because of the timing. But that's pretty much. I'll say that's what I liked. I want to give y'all something more to say. Brian, Blue Leader, what did you like about Star Wars Rogue One?
Oh, jeez. Well, as you said, man. I mean, the set pieces and cinematography were on point in this film, very much so. I didn't see Godzilla. The 2014 one from back in the day, so I can't really attest to that. That being said, though, I mean, the casting on this one, I'm a big character guy. I love the character. Like, a story can be mediocre, but if there's really good characters, it's forgivable to me. That being said, though, I mean, this cast I just thought was great. As you said, Alan Tudyk killed as the droid. You know, pun. I thought he was great. I love Mads Mikkelsen. I mean, I gave him kind of a bum rap over in Doctor Strange because he was kind of forgettable, let's be real here. But at the same time, he, I enjoy seeing him in almost everything he's in. So seeing him show up as the father of the protagonist, Jyn, was nice. That being said as well, Felicity Jones, I loved her as Jyn Erso, so I thought she was great. And Diego Luna, Cassian Andor, I liked Jyn and Cassian's back and forth. I thought they had a decent chemistry going. Although one thing I will say is that Taser pointed out, Forrest Whitaker is in this movie. He is Saw Gerrera, and Taser pointed out online, I think, it's like, why did they seem to give him so much shine when he was not all much,
because
all
he,
much in it, it's kind of like...
Because he's Forrest Whitaker. I mean, like, arguably, he's the most, outside of James Earl Jones, he's the most recognizable name on that call sheet for the cast. For
True.
The So that's more
than
well,
depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah, because I was going
to
say, because if we're going to, I mean, I'm going to leave the one cast member who I know he's going to want to talk about to Taser, because I think I know who he wants to talk about, probably. But I, as much as I enjoyed that, the blending together of Star Wars Episode 4 canon of what we know is like the characters and those who are present, and into this new stuff, I thought blended very well. Whereas, we were talking before the show, Iggy, and we said, this is really what I think the prequel should have amounted to. This is what we really should have had that sense of familiarity going in, of old and new. And you got that. I mean, you of course saw Anthony Daniels all up in there as C-3PO just for a moment. You got a couple other cameos as well.
Vader. Don't forget, yeah. Vader looking.
Who could forget that fucking? Oh, come on. That is a discussion topic in and of itself. Just Vader showing up as like, holy shit. as much crap as the character has gotten over the years, particularly for his portrayal in the prequels by none other than Hayden Christensen.
That's not his fault, though. That's not his fault.
I know. I think Darth Vader has sufficiently reclaimed the throne as baddest motherfucker in the galaxy with this movie. I mean, you really can't top it. It was fucking amazing.
I'm gonna butt in right a second. That scene where you see him in that, I'm just gonna call it a Batha tank, even though it wasn't. It's not one of those he was in. But like seeing him with the governor, not the governor, the what was the guy, not Tarkin. Although I have a question about Tarkin real quick. Was that CGI? Or was that an actor?
It was CGI because Peter Cushing is.
Yeah, I know. I know Peter was like, "Holy shit,
was,
that looked."
It was CGI with. I think they overlaid.
Okay, because I was like, "That's scary. That freaked me out." Like, wait a minute, what's going on here? What's going on?
A lot of callback footage and stuff, but they did it to great effect.
Definitely. But I was going to ask about that. Like, I was going to say about that scene with. The guy who was the architect for the Death Star, the director, I can't remember his name. Matt Mikkelsen, the one Matt Mikkelsen worked for, which by the way,
the main villain, right?
Yeah,
right.
By the way, second Matt Mikkelsen character we're talking about in a row, because Dr.
Sean. In a month, which is an impressive.
Yeah, no, but like that scene where he's going to Vader and just Vader just sort of just like being Vader and like the memory, like you remember the prequels, but just like all that washed away. And I just remember, no, this is the badass Vader that everybody remembers.
This is the Vader who controls the galaxy with an iron fist. This is the one we need, you know? This is like, it's like sort of the opposite of Al Snow's what does everybody want? It's we know what we want, we know what we need, and we know what we love. And it's this Darth Vader is the one that we need and want and love. And yes, I made an Al Snow reference when talking about Star Wars. Fucking fight me over it. I'll say this, though. It's a really small thing, but I enjoyed the shit out of it. The fight on the beach... because they've gone to a lot of places in Star Wars, but I don't think they've ever gone to the beach in Star Wars.
Technically, the Kashyyyk planet had a beach. They just it wasn't like a tropical beach.
But this beach was like it was. I think they actually shot that in Hawaii, which is like, you know. But yeah, I loved seeing that though. Small things, but it's. You know, that's what we need in these movies. It's expanding the universe while keeping things that are familiar, you know, in-universe. And I like that. So I'll cap myself there because we could go on and on about, I think, what we liked about this movie. But I'll let Taser go while there's still some things left to say. Taser, you going ahead now? Oh.
Well, okay, you already mentioned the beach fight and the big battle. So for my part, I'll say the fight. Because that's really what everything was leading up to, however long it took us to get there. And when she pulled off and did that inspirational speech that, you know, most of the Alliance bigwigs went, but what if she's wrong? No, I don't want to die. Run away. And, you know, impressed the fuck out of Cassian and you know... some of the ground pounders, you know, and you had what's his name? Chirrut Imwe and Baz Malbus. Chirrut Imwe played by Donnie fucking Yen. Yes. And
that's why I left that Baz one for Taser.
Thank you very much, there, sir. You know, impressed them. They signed on to do the infiltration mission, and we're talking like, you know, what? 12 people?
Hold on, Taser. You could say there was some sort of suicide squad.
Oh, ba-dum-dum.
He said it.
Actually, yeah, there we go. You know, they went to pull off the impossible mission, and I want to say this in typical Disney fashion, but they're on the planet. We need to get them some backup. Send everything that we got. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, you knew that was going to happen, but when they landed, they managed to get through. They landed. They managed to work their way through. And they managed to get into the tower where the archive was, and then everything, you know, kind of went to hell, but, you know, then, you know, big reinforcements showed up, and then it was the fight. And that's when you had the soldiers, and we're not talking, you know, we're not talking pilots or anything else. We're talking soldiers. You know, we're talking long rifles and grenades and mines and demolitions and everything else like that. You know, people that are on the ground, you know, holding the line. You know, that kind of crap. And the Alliance, you know, getting, you know, managing to find their nuts, you know, putting it back into place. And when they, you know, when they managed to get the, you know, those ships that could get through that, you know, planet-wide shield. Oh, man, just seeing that shit, you know, the freaking... I don't even know if those were... Those weren't A-Wings. What the hell were those?
U-Wings. U-Wings. That's
those
their new...
Those were U-Wings? The ones that looked like A-Wings would ended up being like a full wing...
Yeah, that, yeah.
Oh,
I was confused at first, but yeah, they're called U-Wings.
And that's something else I want to add. Even though... And this is, you know, a bit... I don't know if I would call it a retcon, but they had craft here that didn't show up in the prequels because, you know, nobody thought them up yet. But, you know, it was still actually pretty nice to see, like, did either you two see that one TIE fighter that was literally just a ball and two triangles?
Yeah. They were like prototypes to, like, the TIE Interceptor or something.
Exactly, and it was the weirdest fucking thing that I'd seen yet. But I knew what it was, and I knew what it was there to do, and it didn't disappoint me that the thing turned on like a dime and, you know, was just dropping rebel craft. And I'm pissed off at that because A-Wing's on my heart. But the battle up top and the battle on the planet surface was glorious. That was Star Wars, you know, and it didn't disappoint then. It did not disappoint. And, you know... With Jin and Cassian and K2SO and, you know, the trying to get the plans out. And, of course, at this point, here's where things start to go wrong and people get swamped and blah, blah, blah. You know that's going to happen because you know how this story ends. Yet you know it. But I didn't care. I was there for this fight. I wanted to see the Alliance... You know, do what it needed to do to get this information out there. And I, without knowing ahead of time how this was going to end, I knew how it was going to end. So it didn't really affect me. But I got to see that briefly, fight. Go ahead.
If I may briefly interject, despite what, I'm not sure about your feelings on it, it's the same mentality that sort of fueled Halo Reach in that respect, in that you know how the story ends.
Exactly.
But it's about the fight that happens on the planet, and you want to see how it goes that draws you in. And that,
exactly.
I think...
Exactly, and it's respect for those who've fallen, given their lives for the big fight, you know, so that others, you know, can survive.
Because without this battle and Jin, Luke, they don't get the Death Star plans, Luke doesn't make that shot, the Rebel Alliance is dead.
Right. I absolutely loved what the last 40 minutes. That's where the movie to me, where they actually came together. But I will say before then, I'm not sure how the hell to pronounce this if I'm doing it correctly. But Chirrut Imwe, which was Donnie Yen's character, and Baz Malbus, who was his partner Wen Jiang. Oh man, those two were awesome. Those two played off each other. So well, it was like watching Chewie and Han, you know. And you had the bonus of watching Baz Malbus not being disturbed or anything by what his blind friend was doing. You know, he just he's used to it. This is like everyday occurrence, you know. But everybody else is. This dude took on a whole squad of stormtroopers, dodging light, laser blasts and everything, blind.
With a stick.
With a staff, you know. And the best part of it was after that that fight where they took out the stormtroopers and what's his name? Saw Gerrera's people came and, you know, they snatched them all up. When they put the thing over his head, he said, oh, come on, I'm blind. Really? You know? I fucking fell out, man.
That was pretty fucking great.
Yeah, and you know what? I will say this. When Cassian and Jin were on the craft headed away from the base where her father died at, and, you know, she wanted to lay into him because he was there to assassinate her father and blah, 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 blah. And he told her, he laid it straight out, look, yes, I was told to kill your father. I had multiple opportunities to do so. I did not, and he actually doesn't say why he didn't, but she wanted to get high and mighty on him, and he smacked her ass down and set her straight. You know, he, you know, according to him, don't know his backstory, but he, you know, tells her, I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old. You are not the only person who's lost loved ones. Get over it. And he walked. She didn't have shit to say. And then he looked around and said, what, to everybody else? Nobody else said shit. Fucking loved that moment.
That was pretty tight. That was pretty tight.
It was, you know. I'm good.
Okay. Well, and one other thing I'm going to go ahead and commend it. The coolest way, because
Hold on. The cameos, like with Grand Moff Tarkin and Leia and the stuff with Red Leader and Gold Leader, those were really, really good things that they just threw in there, because I honestly did not expect that at all.
I don't think anybody did. And that's what I was going to...
But Red 5.
Yeah, Red 5 too. Wedge.
Let's see what happened. No, you actually see why there's a space for Red 5 for Luke.
Oh, that's right, because Red 5 bites the dust.
Exactly. You know? And Walrus Face and the other guy that we end up... That end up in the bar and Tatooine.
Yeah, that was like, holy shit, that's them. I guess they got off the planet because like they must have left right before the explosion happened.
Yeah, but apparently they didn't last too long.
No, not much long. Like that was fun. But one thing I before I move on to negatives is that I love that the movie. As soon as I saw, it was like, wait a minute. Like how are they gonna end this? You know, this is, as soon as I saw the escort ship come out, and it was the same ship that you know, Leia was on, obviously, preceded by Darth Vader just whooping the shit out of all those rebel soldiers on the escort ship. As soon as I saw leave,
it should be, by the way,
and it basically speeding off with Vader overlooking it, like. Give chase, like a pirate movie, like, give chase now, we give chase. Like, I love that it basically, literally, right into episode 4. Like, it starts off, like, you watch episode 4, now you have context to that. You don't need it, you don't have need to have watched that, but it kind of enhances it a little, I love how it ended. But let's go on to negatives. Because despite that we're praising it, and we love the battle sequences and stuff like that, there are some problems with it, and I thought, I thought the movie could have been cut a little bit. I thought at some points, like going into this, having watched Godzilla 2014, Gareth Edwards likes his character moments amongst his big, you know, humongous set pieces. He likes to do that. And I thought that while I love the interactions with Jin and Cassian, right?
Yeah, Cassian, I think.
Cassian. I don't know why I'm thinking Cassian. Cassian. And the robot and the droid were all great. I thought some of the other stuff could have been cut. Like, I felt like Force Wicker could have been cut a little bit more. I felt like some of the thing on the cliffside where they were on the rebel, on the Imperial, where Mads Mikkelsen was being held could have been cut a little bit. Also felt like we could have fleshed out Mads Mikkelsen some more. So like maybe he gotten him some more scenes. I mean, ultimately it doesn't matter since he was going to die anyways.
Well, but give me that idea, Iggy.
Well, I mean, like, maybe I'm stupid, but, like, okay, I expected Donnie Yen to die. I expected the Asians to die, because that's very racist of me to think that, because they're expendable. like, so, let's be real here.
They would have been behind the controls of a vehicle while doing so, right?
No, they wouldn't. That would have been. But, like, I you saw who was, you saw who were the leaders, and you saw who were the backup. Let's be real here. And this is how it works in team movies. I'm not sure how I feel about basically everybody dying. Like, pretty much, like, straight up dead. Like, there's no surviving members, which makes sense, you know, considering, but also, like, I was expecting maybe one of them would come back in, like, the new ones, but whatever. Any other criticisms that I had? I thought the score was a little muted for a Star Wars movie. Like, I kind of thought it was awkward at point, like at the very beginning when the rebels, not the rebels, but the militants rather, were attacking that stormtrooper brigade, or supply convoy, and there was no music. I was like, this is weird. And then the music kicks in. I thought the score wasn't like consistent all the way through. Also, the bad guy was a little weak. Like, especially when you put him next to Grand Moff Tarkin, which I guess is the point, you know, he's beneath him. But, like, he was mostly just like, what about my position? And this, like, you know, he didn't come off as strong and threatening, like, say, Vader does. I mean,
yeah, he came off as a bit of a whiner.
Yeah, like, yeah. But it's mine. I did this. Meh. That's what he was. And, like, I loved his design, like, the white with the cape. Like, I think that looks cool as a look. But overall, he did nothing. He really didn't do anything but whine and bitch. What else? What else did I not like about this movie? I wish there was more. Like, the movie gives me enough to reason to care about, you know, Donnie Yen and like all these other, the basically Rogue One. But I wish there was a little bit more camaraderie with the team, just a little bit more scenes with them, versus some of the other stuff we got. So yeah, I don't have too much criticism because I pretty much enjoyed this. I pretty much enjoyed this movie. Was it me or was it dark? Like, was it like dark?
Incredibly dark. It was a different tone than this. Isn't Force Awakens. Well, this is like
I'm not talking about like dark, like in terms of
the
like
lighting.
I mean the lighting. Maybe it was just my theater, but like it was like hard
theater because it wasn't
okay. Because it was
just
hard to see.
One
shit.
Black guy is in it does not make it dark.
God damn it! But I really don't have any criticism with it. I really enjoyed it. It was definitely a different type of Star Wars movie than we've received before, which I'm glad. Again, it was just a little slower at points, but knowing Gareth Edwards again, I don't know him, but knowing how he directs, that's how he does it.
Oh, you know Gareth Edwards? What's he like?
Oh, I wish I did. I would ask him, hey, can I get a starring role on Godzilla 2 whenever that comes out?
Let's not say we did.
Actually, Godzilla's a good movie. The reboot Godzilla's a good movie.
Wait. Which one?
The 2014 Godzilla movie.
The one with Kick-Ass in it?
Yeah.
Oh, the one with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, her husband and wife? That one?
Yeah. Yeah, hey, it's better, it's far, and not by, it's, whatever, we're not here talking about Godzilla, although technically he was published in the Marvel Comics, so technically we could do a Godzilla review when Godzilla comes out. But either way, I don't really have much negatives. I pretty much came out with a smile on my face. The homages are great. The criticisms are small. Other than the music score being a little lacking, oomph, and the pacing. Taser, negative man, go.
But before I do anything, one last thing that I like is in the big battle, when you saw the pilots, diversity everywhere. The only thing they didn't have was an Asian female pilot, but there was Black pilot, female pilot. Hey, there was an Indian pilot, you know. So, if you're on Tumblr or if you're an SJW,
oh, I'm sure there will be like a dozen different essays cropping up about how this movie solved racism on like someone's Tumblr fan blog or some shit. Meanwhile,
it really was diverse though, so I wanted to give a thumbs up for that. For the stuff I didn't like, weak opener. That title screen, lame. I understand they didn't want to use the crawl. I can understand that kind of sort of, but they just had some dink ass red lettering, you know, Rogue One, and that was it. You know, there was nothing inspiring or awe-catching or anything to make you go, ooh, nothing. It was dull and boring. To go back to what Iggy said, the soundtrack for this was bleh. Aside from the music during the fight, everything else was forgettable. I don't remember any of it. You know, it did nothing. I felt nothing nowhere.
No Tingles Down Under? No?
No Tingles Down Under. And speaking of No Tingles, and this is kind of surprising because she's cute, Felicity Jones and Ben Mendelsohn as main hero and main villain bored the fuck out of me. Neither of these people did jack shit to make me care about them. Nothing. All she did was run around, whine, look at people, scowl, and then wonder why I got to do this. And I want to save my dad. Fuck you. You know? And, fucking... What the fuck? I just said his name.
The director.
The main villain. He was lame. He was so fucking lame. Like you said, all he did was going, but I helped build the Death Star. It was all my idea. I oversaw it. He's a manager that got people to do all the work, and he wanted the credit. He's that douchebag that sits in the office while everybody does everything, and whoever has sparks of genius and whatever, he goes, go over there and do this. And then they go over there and they knock it out. Excuse me. And then, you know, he wants to go to his boss and go, see? Look at what I did. I did all of this. Fuck you, you cockroach. I despise this man because he was spineless and a nothing. He was an absolute nothing.
He didn't even build the Death Star. It was Mads Mikkelsen who was the true engineer.
All of his genius.
That would have been a better reveal that like he was really working for the Rebels, but then you know for the Imperials all along.
Right. But you know, Krennic, he just wanted credit, you know. And for that matter, I'm sorry, but Forrest Whitaker and Saul Guerrera did jack and fuck all, except hold the pilot so that the others could come get him and take him away and make a message that only the girl saw, and understandably really wouldn't have had the presence of mind to take it, but then again, it's not like she knew where it was playing from. So the guy that they made a bit, and even though it was only like in two shots in that first trailer, but still, ooh, Forrest Whitaker, you thought something was going to come from him. And he had what? Maybe 5 minutes of on-screen time?
Not even that, maybe three minutes.
You know, I mean, it was pathetic. You saw him walk. Okay, yeah, he has no legs, and he torches a pilot, and he's got, you know, Don King hair, and his face guy.
Oh, I thought he looked familiar.
Don King hair.
Like Star Wars galaxy, you know.
Lazy ass eye, got a cane with, and not only that, but he reminded me of the bad guy from the. Australian movie with the people with the cars.
Australian movie.
Crocodile Dundee?
No. Mad Max. Remember the guy from the last Mad Max? You know, he had the gas thing. He did that shit. Like, what the fuck was that all about? You know, both lungs artificial? He had to, and then he would stare, and then have some type of silent epiphany that made no fucking sense, and he would just do something, and then it would cut scene. What the fuck was that? You know? I didn't get any of that shit, you know? And the girl, you find out that he saves the girl when she's young, he raises her until she's about 16, and then he sets her free because the others are starting to suspect that your parents might have been, you know, Empire sympathizers or some bullshit, which I can kind of see that as a reason why you might want to send somebody away, but then you kind of got to wonder, well, what the fuck was she doing for the rest of her time? And to have him drop the line that she was the best student he ever had, she was his best soldier, none of that actually comes into play except for that one time when they were in that city and she takes down a couple of stormtroopers single-handedly. Yay! She can fight! Ooh.
She doesn't do anything else In terms of fighting, like, she does plenty in the movie, but she does in terms of her combat to earn that title from him.
Not only just the fighting, but in terms of tactics or anything else, it's like all she's there for is because she's Galen Orso's daughter. That was it. That was her role because she was the only one that could get to the father because reasons. And, you know, and also Guerrera, because reasons. So without her, they feared they couldn't get to Guerrera, and, you know, therefore they couldn't get to Galen Erso. But when you stop and think about it, they probably could have done so without her. So, again, why? And I kind of hate to do this, but how the fuck did C-3PO and R2-D2 end up on that craft? They were on the base. How did they end up on the ship where the lead commander was, and Princess Leia was there as well? Why the fuck would she be on that ship? Why? That made no sense.
I think, if I'm remembering correctly, Jimmy Smits mentions in passing, like, to get the Death Star plans, because they want to mobilize to do something, and basically, references her.
Why would he send his daughter to a battlefield, though?
I don't know.
And he wasn't even there. Remember, he left to go back to
Alderaan.
He went to go die.
He went to go talk
to Obi-Wan because
that's right.
He went to go talk to Obi-Wan, and then he was going to whatever the fuck. And none of that had anything to do with her. So why were those three people on that ship? That made no sense.
Because the lore demands it.
Fuck all of that.
I'm confused. Taser, did you like this movie or not? Because if you said you liked it, I'd be kind of questioning your
answer. I liked the fight. The fight, as far as I'm concerned, this movie was all the scenes that involved Donnie Yen and Wang Zhang, and then the fight, and then the movie ended.
Dude, Donnie Yen took out a fucking TIE fighter blind with a bow. Like,
and not
like,
only did he take out that TIE fighter, he hit that TIE fighter, and that TIE fighter crashed into the turret. So he did two birds, one stone. Fucking brilliant, you know? No, I could not honestly. This isn't a movie that if I'd have known, I'd have ran out to see, and I did that. I was there at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. And I paid for 3D, and I paid for my brother's ticket also. So I shelled out about $30-some-odd, and I regret it. I honestly do. I would rather have seen this in regular 2D, but unfortunately, time and other stuff prevented me from doing so. It's not an awful movie, but the characters that we're supposed to feel for, namely Felicity Jones, I don't care about, you know.
Well,
and it's not like with Luke, you kind of care. I kind of care because, oh, I don't know what's going on, but something's happening and I'm being dragged along. Here, it's not exactly the same thing, but I really don't care about her, you know.
At least they're all dead in a nuclear holocaust.
And that's the other thing. I didn't not like that. As a matter of fact, I kind of sat there and go, yeah, that makes sense because this is a battle, you know? There's no guarantee. The only reason why we had the movies that we had with the characters that we had is because Lucas wanted us to care about these characters, and he wanted to tell the story with these characters. But this movie was about the fight for the plans. That's it. That's all. That's it right there. So, you know, any type of, maybe we'll get to see them in something else later. No, there's no need for that, you know. These people died where they died, I'm fine with. Absolutely. I'm glad they did what they did, and I'm sad to see them go, but they're dead. Oops. Oh, well. Thank you for your service.
Brian, what did you not like about Rogue One, the Star Wars story?
I will say that as far as, like, the chemistry in the team goes, I'm kind of in your camp, Iggy. I wish they could have shown a little more camaraderie, a little more, you know, sort of. Because, say what you will.
You like nice boys and girls getting along together in romance.
Well, not necessarily getting along, but at least, like, working as a team. They kind of just, like, everything sort of falls into
the romance.
About the Distinguished Competition's actual Suicide Squad movie. They have been forced, but the working together aspect was there. Again,
yeah,
Captain
Boomerang helped save the world. There you go.
Yeah. And El Diablo thought of the team as his family, even though he knew them less than 48 hours. So,
es mi familia.
He's Mexican. He has an enhanced definition of family, I guess.
La raza.
All Mexicans call us la familia. There you go.
You sound like Vin Diesel in one of those furiously fast movies.
Now
about family.
To a bunch of Dominicans.
Look, yeah, the main villain was super weak ass. He's basically fucking Michael Scott on the Death Star, and I'm just kind of like, I don't need this. Yeah, well, you know what? If he had come in saying that's what she said, I would have bought it. I would have been like, yep, yeah, that's fucking, like, I was waiting for that, you know, waiting for the theme music to kick in. But, yeah, so the guy who was supposed to be the villain was weak. We all know who really was the villain up in this bitch. It was Grand Moff Tarkin and Darth fucking Vader. Those are our villains. This guy is some fucking bureaucrat. He's standing out there like, but he's like Cartman when he gets all whiny, you know? He's like, have I been a good boy? Have I been a good boy? Humping the leg of whatever chief administrator comes down the hall. It's unnecessary. And I agree. If they had done a flip where, fucking Mads Mikkelsen is actually an Imperial sympathizer, I would have loved to see that. I would have bought that shit. I would have been like, oh, yes.
There's probably a version of that script out there somewhere. I guarantee you somebody pitched that.
It was too obvious a setup not to follow through to its logical conclusion, but Disney was probably like, no. No, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Like, no, but we have this super subtle nuance in his acting, and no. Good guy. And just kind of like, yes, Mr. Mouse. Whatever you say, Mr. Mouse. But, yeah, the score was a little disjointed. Forrest Whitaker is kind of like, hey, that's Forrest Whitaker. Yeah, cool. You know, it's just kind of... But overall, I think I enjoyed it. I mean, I liked, because I found out about a week beforehand that Disney came forward and they were like, yeah, this movie has no sequel. This is a standalone film, and that's how we're treating it. And they came out and they said that. I was like, oh, so everybody's going to die then. And sure as shit, everybody dies. And if nothing else, the death in this movie is fucking vainglorious. Like, it is.
Fucking Donnie Yen goes out pretty coolly. His partner goes out like a badass.
Donnie Yen gets blown up and never sees it.
Well, he does cool shit while dying, whatever. And then his partner takes out all those Death Squad.
Whatever you want to say about Donnie Yen, you cannot touch the fact that he is just a stone cold badass.
Is he supposed to be a Jedi? Like, because they never called him one, but like he pretty much acted like he was. Like he just didn't have a.
He is said to be the Guardian of the Wills or whatever.
Guardians for the Kyber Temple. And, you know, at this point, we're talking they're outnumbered. So, you know, they were just kind of cooling it and making sure nobody did anything stupid. However, Donnie Yen, I think, was Force sensitive. You know, he couldn't use the Force. He wasn't a Force user. He was a Force sensitive. His partner wasn't anything but, you know, just his partner.
He was just a mercenary. You know, he was just a guy there. It was kind of like, you know.
The heavy repeater. There's 20 stormtroopers. Let's mow their asses down. Yeah.
And of course, it's just, you know, there. To me, I really more liked this movie than disliked it. So I mean, there wasn't a whole lot for me that I just found so terrible. You know, obviously there was your typical plot contrivances, and there was, like, you know, this, that, and the, but you're going to find those in any movie you watch, so if you're going to bitch about those, you're going to be here all day. But that being said, I mean, obviously it had some issues with, I will say that I thought the story ran tighter. Because in my head, I don't know, are we going to compare this to The Force Awakens in the next section?
No, I don't think we should, because this is not
okay.
This is not a numbered Star Wars movie.
Okay, well,
I don't think we should compare it.
To Force Awakens anyway. So what I kind of got as a sense of things.
Brian, I don't like being undermined like this. I'm going to just tell you that right now.
What are you going
to
do?
Be passive.
Force?
I'm going to be...
Me? You're all...
I'm going to... Now be silent and sit in your corner. The Force, bitches. All right. Go do your fucking comparison.
Yeah. Listen, I'll keep it brief. I just want to say that putting the two again, because these are, I mean, obviously they're the two newest installments in Star Wars we've had in quite some time. I think, despite the fact that I did enjoy the sort of colorful characters in this movie, there wasn't as much development as I thought there could have been, especially when compared to The Force Awakens. I thought The Force Awakens had tighter character development, but I felt like this one had much tighter control of the story, or at least the story ran faster and it was much more bam, 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 bam. And I thought that it was just at the expense of character development, I will say that. So,
well,
that being said,
that was kind of the point, though.
Yeah, and that being said, I thought it was better, because this wasn't meant to be the next Star Wars installment. As Iggy said, this isn't a numbered Star Wars installment. This is just something to expand the canon of the new Disney Star Wars universe, and I thought it accomplished that. And that, again, that's why I kind of find the sins of this movie sort of forgivable, because it's a different type of story being told.
It's a prequel that does not damage the originals.
Yes.
Exactly, which is like I said, like you could if you wanted to, and you, yeah, exactly, if you wanted to, you could not. This movie can never be made, and Episode 4 does amazingly well still. It's a great movie. You have this leading into it, and you kind of have a bigger piece, and it makes you like appreciate like the bigger canon of Star Wars, a bigger appreciation of the Rebel versus Imperials, but you don't need it. And
no.
I think that's the best kind of thing. It's not necessary.
Hear
but,
that,
it's, but it's entertaining.
You
and good.
Don't need it. Isn't that crazy?
But let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this up, ladies and gentlemen. This is our last podcast of 2016.
Wait, hold on. Remember that moment when they killed that power to that one Star Destroyer, and then that other guy in the Rebellion Corvette got the bright idea to use his craft to ram it into the other Star Destroyer, and then
you
both
mean that
of them fell into the shield, which is what wiped it out. Woohoo!
Okay, that was that notion of, like, I got an idea. Like, oh, I said to myself, I got a bad feeling about this. but I thought it was cool, like, they basically had a battering ram ship. I'm like, I want to see that more. Like, that was cool. That just a ship just for, I don't think it was just, it looked like it was specifically just built for ram.
No, it wasn't that at all, because we've seen that type of craft before. It's just
okay.
The purpose for which it was used. For that matter, though, the whole I got a bad feeling about this, they almost pulled that off when they were going up to where the archives were, Jyn Cassian and K2SO, but they had him say something a little different, and, you know, when I heard it, I was... Oh, they avoided it, because that's something that kind of gets done in, like, almost every Star Wars movie. You know, I have a bad feeling about this. And I was a
well,
little
the rubble,
disappointed.
Well, the droids said it. I mean,
no, he didn't say that. He said something.
He said, I have a bad feeling, and then he said, I have a bad feeling about this, and then Jyn cuts him off, like, right at the end. But, like, I mean, he says it.
No, he says something close to it, but not exactly. But he gets
okay.
cut off. And that's kind of, I was a little disappointed there, you know, but.
Audience, let us know who's right. Is it me or Taser? It's me. Don't worry. I know it's me. Okay. Well, let's wrap this up, shall we?
So what would you give it?
I give it a 7 out of 10.
We're doing a grade of 10 out of 10?
It's Star Wars.
Okay. I'll let it slide. I'll allow it. What about you, Bri?
I'd allow it, McCoy, but you just, no. I think 7 out of 10 is a solid rating. I'll go with that. 7 out of 10.
Out of 10, I'm going to say 5.7 out of 10.
5.7.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not worth
and,
the 6.
All right. Fair enough. Each his own. But now the road to episode 8 officially begins. So next year, 2017, unless Commandant Trump puts us off the air.
Trying to
we
shut
will,
us down,
man.
We're going pirate radio on this bitch.
Hydra. Next year we'll get Star Wars. We don't even know the title for the next Star Wars movie, right? We have no idea what that is yet.
I don't
said anything.
Movie? No, we don't.
No. For episode 8. Motherfucker, I just said episode 8. Listen to my words. We don't know anything. I mean, we know who's in episode 8, but we don't know what
it's called. Episode 8, that's about all that I'm able to discern from it. So,
Yeah.
Episode
you don't have,
eight,
like, the Force.
The Force something.
Well, I mean, they can't call it The Force Unleashed because it's already been taken.
They can't use the Force. All of a sudden, fucking Sam Witwer shows up, and he's like Galen Merrick, and everyone's like, what the fuck? I thought he was dead. And everyone's like, you thought wrong, bitch.
Half the audience is going to be confused. But either way, ladies and gentlemen, let us know what you thought of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. We know we're going to get... This is it now. For the rest of our lives, or at least until it runs out of money and Disney decides to give up on it, we're going to get a new Star Wars movie at least every year. At least that's on... Right now, that's what is on track, at least up to next year. I don't think they've officially announced a release date for, like, the next Star Wars solo movie.
Episode 9, 2019.
Well, I was talking about spinoffs.
Oh.
I think the
Star
one they
Wars
have
next... Underworld 2018... Untitled Han Solo Star Wars Anthology Film 2018. Star Wars Detours TV Series supposed to be up this year.
Either way, we're going to get a lot of Star Wars talk, but we'll definitely be back here for Episode 8, because I know that, like, especially with the how much people fell back in love with Star Wars at Episode 7, it's definitely going to be a fun time with Episode 8. But, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. This is our last show. Again, if you didn't listen to last week's show, our last show of the year, 2016, we'll be back on January 26th, 2017. It'll be a good time.
We would also like to say that, unfortunately, he couldn't be here, but Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Old Man Whirlyburger, Jonathan Courtwright, who's going through some stuff right now, so all of our best wishes go out to him and his family. You know, stay up, dude. We're thinking about you and praying for you.
Yes.
Sam. That's what we kids do nowadays. We just latch on to someone else's sentiment with same.
Because we're millennials, Brian. That's what it is. Yeah. But, Brian, you have anything to say before with our final show of 2016?
Oh, jeez, is it really? Teen drinking is very bad, so don't do that. Also, probably don't do drugs. I mean, unless you want to try drugs, I guess. I mean,
Wait. Also, I'd like to thank all the... We actually got some more new likes based on the last two episodes that I posted. What was it? 250 and 251? I want to... Yeah, we got a few new likes. We got some more page hits. I want to thank all the people who, you know, came, checked us out, and liked this, liked the show. And if you guys hear anything on this show or anything we did previous that you and agree or disagree with, especially if you disagree, post about it. Call us out on it, and we'll address it. At least I'll try to address it on the show, and we'll see how wrong you are.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Have a safe trip if you're traveling for the holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. We'll see you all in 2017.
Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Festivus, and Anti-Life, and all that stuff. So,
I'm the Marvelous Iggy, and I want all you beautiful people to stay marvelous. Have a good night, everybody.
Take care, people. See you in 2017.
We survived.